If you want pure, unfiltered, unadulterated sports, you've come to the right place. AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
We are in the sports bar. You're in the sports bar. Thanks for stopping by. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Time to welcome in our buddy Matt Perino, the Syracuse Post-Standard, covering the Buffalo Bills. Matt, how you been?
I'm good. It was a really nice day in Buffalo yesterday, 50-ish degrees, nice, and now it seems like the clouds are coming in, and it could be another week of Nathan Peterman, right?
Yeah, I was hoping you'd say that Josh Allen day-to-day, that maybe we will get Allen, but you think Sean McDermott's going to err on the side of caution here and we'll wait for Allen until after the bye?
Listen, I don't know. I mean, at this point, it seems like we're headed in the direction of Derek Anderson not being available. He's still in the concussion protocol. Like, well, he was out on the field today. I don't see a ton of optimism around his situation. Obviously, the big news today, Josh Allen is back. They brought him to the podium today after practice. He spoke for about 10 minutes about where he's at. But he talked a lot about, kind of waiting and hoping for the feeling to come back to his arm where he feels like he was throwing it like he was before the injury. So we're talking about on a Wednesday. He still doesn't feel like he's at 100% throwing the ball. I don't see how you put him out there, your franchise quarterback that you're building around here. You throw him out there in a meaningless game against the Jets, and it looks like Sam Darnold's not playing.
Matt, are you on? I apologize for interrupting, but it's really hard to hear you. Should we reconnect here? What's your opinion?
You got us on speaker, Matt?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
There we go.
Much better. Sorry for the inconvenience. I know it's a lot nicer to be on speaker. We were just having a real hard time understanding what all that you were saying there, Matt.
No, I'm glad that thank you for cutting me off.
All right, Matt, LeSean McCoy, has he been, I don't think we've heard anybody say anything about LeSean McCoy or any comments. He hasn't made any comments to the media in some time now. What do you think is going on with him? Do you think any of this is to be worried about, concerned about? Obviously, he's frustrated. Everybody is. But this is also one of your team captains. Shouldn't you expect a little bit more?
Well, it's funny you say that, because I just actually put out a story on NewYorkUpstate.com about McCoy and his refusal to speak to the media here for the second week in a row. He seems frustrated. He came to after practice today. He told a few reporters that were waiting in his locker that if there was time after practice, he would speak. That he wasn't ducking media obligations, just that he hasn't talked. And when he came back in at the end, media were still standing there, and he kind of looked agitated and turned and bolted out of the room. I think that, if you're asking what's going on, we don't know. But if you ask me what I thought, I'm wondering if, maybe at 2-7 and with the struggles of this offense, LeSean McCoy is a pretty confident guy. And he said it himself. He's never experienced anything like this in his football career, where an offense was struggling like this. So I'm wondering if that, with that trade deadline coming up, if he wasn't hoping to kind of have a ticket out of town as a guy in the twilight of his career at this point, at 30 years old, trying to chase 12,000 yards, which he made a point to talk about in the offseason as being a goal of his, and he hasn't even hit 300 yards in a half a season here yet. So I think he's frustrated. I think he may want out of this situation at this point in his career, but he's not talking, so it's tough to get any answers.
How much blame do you give to McCoy, and for that matter, the running backs, I guess, here as to what's happening with this offense?
I don't know. I think that you lost two staples of this offensive line this past offseason, Richie Incognito and Eric Wood, that really allowed this running game to flourish over the course of McCoy's time here. And I think that, Chris Ivory's had a few games where he had a couple nice runs, as has Marcus Murphy, who had that one game with the 50 yards. But for the most part, I'm not so sure that the offensive line, from a run-blocking perspective, has been very good. And Sean McDermott said today that it's been a combination of, guys not hitting the hole, holes that are there, and also, when the scheme is in place, not getting movement. That's what he's harped on all season, is not winning at the line of scrimmage. And I think that's the key to this thing. They're not winning at the line of scrimmage, whether it's the running back, whether it's the offensive line, it's not good enough. and there has to be some serious upgrades made on that line this offseason. I think that losing those two guys has hurt a lot more than I think anyone even anticipated.
Sure, Matt, and I'll hear what you're saying about upgrading in the offseason, but prior to the offseason, you can get a pretty good sense of what you have on the roster right now, and given that it hasn't been working, why not just blow it up? Why not go nuclear on the offensive line and just start moving pieces around? I mean, you saw Wyatt Teller come into the game against Chicago. You saw Jeremiah Searles go into the game, 27 plays on Sunday as well. I mean, why not see more of these guys here through the course of the rest of the season?
I think that's what's happening. I think that you're going to start to see a lot more of that. You might see a little Connor McDermott at some point who's been in practice with these guys all season. But I spoke to Wyatt Teller today and about his first experience out there, and a guy that I think a lot of Bills fans saw in training camp and preseason that, you know, has a lot of a lot of hope for him on that interior offensive line. He said his first experience is, you know, it was cool. It was cool to get out there, but he saw a lot of things that he'd be better at. And I think that's something that if you're talking from a Bill perspective, Josh Allen's obviously the highlight, but all of these rookies, you want to see them develop over the course of the season. And having Wyatt Teller on the bench, I don't think does you any good. So I think over the course of these last seven games, you're going to start to see a big chunk of Wyatt Teller. If he doesn't get inserted in the starting lineup for good, I think that could be a possibility.
Matt Perino, Syracuse Post Standard, our guest here in the Sports Bar 95.7 ESPN. Matt, when everybody gets healthy on the quarterbacks, who's the odd man out? Because you're not carrying four quarterbacks, I would assume.
I think Derek Anderson's here no matter what. I think that Matt Barkley, I think, is just kind of like they brought him in just to have somebody on the roster. He said on his first day here that the Bills were the first team to call him this entire season since he was let go after the preseason.
God.
So I don't anticipate that Matt Barkley's going to be on this roster for very long once Josh Allen gets back. But, you know, there's a lot at play here, I think. It seems like we're definitely trending in the direction of Josh Allen playing sooner than later. But I think that, you know, I think there's a very good question that needs to be asked here is if he should be playing at all. I mean, you're talking about, like, starting to, you know, funnel in some backup linemen and, you know, with LeSean McCoy not being very productive and this wide receiver group not being very good. How much do you really want to see Josh Allen at this point for the rest of the season? I don't know if they have a choice. I think they want to get him reps, and Sean McDermott's been talking about that. But, man, it could be a scary six games here for Bills fans, just praying that this guy doesn't get hurt.
If you think Derek Anderson is going to remain on the roster, I mean, I would contend, Matt, that I think Derek Anderson has played his last down of football. I really believe that, you know, the way that Patriots game ended for him with the concussion at the end of the game, with the veering to the right during the pick six where he had a chance to prevent the touchdown from Devin McCourty. You know, I just think to myself, Derek Anderson really probably didn't see himself getting this kind of action and probably didn't want to get this kind of action. Rather just be a mentor to the rookie.
Definitely, but, and, you know, from a physical standpoint, that's definitely something that has to be discussed. And, you know, I'm sure the coaching staff here will do their due diligence with Derek to see if he wants to continue to play. But if you talk about from a success standpoint, he may not have scored a lot of touchdowns. There was obviously the interceptions, but no cornerback has moved the team up and down the field this season or had the passing yards that Derek Anderson did in those two games. So if you're talking, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's really like just like what's worse? Throwing Nathan Peterman back out there again, even though at times he looked okay, it's still very rudimentary. It's a lot of check downs, it's a lot of short plays. Or do you take a guy like Derek Anderson, who at the very least, even Josh Allen talked about it today, he's able to give some of his experience and the things that he's experienced in this league over the course of his career to Josh through the week and on game day. I think that's a lot more valuable than, say, a Nathan Peterman just going out there and watching what he's been doing.
Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard. I'm going to ask you the question that I don't think you have an answer to, but every Bills fan, I'm sure, is wondering, why is Peterman still here? I mean, he's the sympathetic figure now. He's this tragic figure. Matt, we need to save Nate Peterman from himself here.
Yeah, it's a tough situation. I mean, I've been... From a journalistic standpoint, I've been so impressed with Nathan Peterman and the way that, you know, we were joking about it today, some of the reporters, that, you know, all season long, no matter how bad it's been, there's been three games where it's been real bad, the interceptions. Nathan Peterman stuck to the podium and answered for it every single time. And LeSean McCoy, you know, he won't even talk to the media at this point. So it's something that, you know, I have a lot of respect for Nathan Peterman, the person. But you're right, from a quarterback perspective, I mean, there's so many people in the NFL community that are, you know, shouting from the rooftops that this guy is not an NFL caliber player. And Sean McDermott was asked after the game on Sunday, is Nathan Peterman an NFL, you know, caliber player? And he says, I believe so. Well, I don't believe so, and I don't think he's good enough to be, you know, playing football. And if that's the case, and you bring in a guy like Matt Barkley, who isn't good, you know, in his own right, but he does have 8 touchdown passes in his career, and maybe try something different. I don't know. But additionally, let me throw this in there too. It's funny that, you know, Sean and Brian Daboll and Josh have talked about what it means to have Derek Anderson in here to kind of give some of his experience. It's almost like the opposite. You're like, you don't want him taking anything from Nathan Peterman, right? So, yeah, no, I agree. I thought he'd be gone after the Houston game, but I think that they screwed up at the beginning of the season. They got rid of A.J. McCarron. They didn't have a backup option other than Nathan Peterman. They've invested so much, and he knows this offense through and through now, spent so much time with Brian Daboll. It would be too much at this point, especially at 2-7, to bring in somebody else and teach them this whole thing and count on them. At least they could throw Peterman out there, and at 2-7, it really doesn't matter, I guess.
Matt, let's look ahead to Sunday. Their opponent, the Jets, they've got their own issues. We're hearing now, I believe this is from Connor Hughes of The Athletic, New York City, that Sam Darnold has a foot strain that he's diagnosed as day-to-day. Todd Bowles has not officially ruled him out for Sunday's game with the Bills, so maybe there is a chance we see Sam Darnold, not that it matters one way or the other. What do we know about the Bills' opponent, the Jets? I mean, the Jets' defense probably is licking their chops right now at the prospect of Nathan Peterman getting the start. The Bills defense is probably licking their chops. And by the way, a very good Bills defense licking their chops at the idea of getting a taste of whoever the Jets throw that back there behind center.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that, you know, if you're a fan of either of these teams, you were probably hoping that this would be the first of many important battles between Sam Darnold and Josh Allen, and we could get the game time and neither could be playing, which is disappointing. But, you know, you look at these two defenses. I remember last year I actually went to the Jets game. I was in New York for a UFC fight, and on that Sunday I went the Thursday night I went to the Jets game, and their defense, you know, their defense played really, really well and had a ton of success against a lackluster Bills offense that night. And that was with, you know, Tyrod Taylor and, you know, a playoff offense with Richie Incognito and Eric Woods. So you're right, this could get scary. But, you know, Josh Allen, he seems very confident. I will say that about him. I mean, and it could be just, you know, what he's saying. But he thinks that the Bills, you know, are close. He thinks that once he gets back in there, he's learned a ton. And if he is able to play Sunday, and that's a big if, I would be interested to see what he's able to do and what he's been able to learn while watching. But yeah, this could be, I think if Josh McCown plays, that's also almost bad news for the Bills, because Sam Darnold threw 4 interceptions last week. I think they were probably excited to play against him.
Matt Perino, Syracuse Post Standard, our guest here in the Sports Bar, 95.7 ESPN, Bills and Jets, coming up 1:00 on Sunday. You were in the locker room today. Is there, I mean, at some point we might get something controversial said from the defense, but with the defense, and if you go by the stat DVOA, Buffalo's second in this league. So you have this Bills defense that right now is playing at a playoff caliber, and the offense, obviously, at one of the worst clips in NFL history. How is this going over with the defense? Do they continue to say the right things, or at some point, Matt, is somebody just going to say the truth and just say, gosh, we can't do this all on our own?
You know, the key to this locker room is, I think that you would see a little bit of that kind of breaking up, or, you know, some frustration coming out, if not for the leadership that's in that room. I mean, you're talking about Kyle Williams and Lorenzo Alexander, guys that have done this for a long time. Kyle Williams has been on a lot of bad teams, as has Lorenzo Alexander. And, you know, they're teaching a culture here, and they really believe that. And I really think that this mentality, despite the record, has been completely bought into from the defense, where they actually think that they need to go out every Sunday and hold teams to 0 points, 3 points, 6 points, whatever it takes to win games. And obviously that could break down over the course of the season. But at this point, I think that, you know, I think there's pride on the line, right, too. I think Lorenzo and Kyle don't have a lot of time left, and they're trying to make the most of what they have left. And I think that's inspiring, you know, a mixture of some other veterans of the defense, but also a lot of these young, talented players like Trey White and Harrison Phillips and Tremaine Edmonds, who still, by the way, is in the concussion protocol, and his availability Sunday is still up in the air. So, but no, I haven't sensed a bit of it. And like you, I've been very surprised that not one person has had a kind of just like a, come on, man, you know, none of those moments.
Yeah, I mean, let's speak for a second about one of those guys who's having just an unbelievable season. And my fear is that we're going to see it tail off here towards the end of the year. But Lorenzo Alexander has been playing at a very, very high level. And we saw this earlier last year before it felt like the season started to get away from him. What are you noticing about Alexander's play so far this season? And is it sustainable for the rest of the season?
Well, I think that the way that McDermott, I think one thing that we've seen in this rebuild or this tenure of Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott is they've really done a nice job on the defensive side of the ball. They've made some nice draft picks. They've brought in some talented players. And, you know, with Lorenzo Alexander, I think the way that they've handled his particular situation, he's off every Wednesday. He just does some kind of recovery. So if you're thinking about it, he's only practicing really twice a week, and then he's available on game days. And it takes that kind of, you know, treatment for a guy like, you know, his age that's been through the battles that he's been through to be at full go. And he's just a professional when it comes to taking care of his body. He just has all of those intangibles. I mean, this is a guy that's done it all in this league. He was a guy that had to fight for a roster spot on special teams. And now he's gone to Pro Bowls, and he still plays special teams. I mean, that's a pretty respectable type of mentality from a guy that probably could say, no, I'm not going to play special teams anymore. I'm one of the star defensive players on the team. And he still approaches it like that, and I think that this defense feeds off of him and Kyle and Micah High, too, who I think is a leader on this team.
If Edmonds can't go, Stanford getting another start at middle linebacker, and, well, I thought that Monday night game he was exposed a little bit, but then again, it is Tom Brady and Julian Edelman over the middle. So with that being said, what was your impression of Stanford anchoring the middle of that Bills defense against the Bears?
I agree with you there, actually. I thought there was a few plays where kind of that intermediate passing game just over the top, kind of on the sidelines that were – have some trouble, but listen, like you said, James White is one of the toughest guys for, you know, linebackers to play against in this league. And I think that, you know, his mentality and the fact that he's accepted this role, I mean, it's a lot to ask a guy that really didn't get a ton of playing time because Tremaine Edmonds was playing every play to come in here, anchor this defense in the middle like he has. And I think he's just, it's going to show like the success that he has had, and I'm not trying to take anything away from him because, you know, he's done a good job at times, but I think it goes to show that, you know, this defense is set up with the improvements in the interior defensive line with the addition of Star Latulale, the signing of Jordan Phillips, and obviously the emergence of Harrison Phillips, that, you know, they're getting a really good push. They're doing their job up front, which makes life easier on the second level on the linebackers, and I think that's only going to get even better as time goes on and get Tremaine Edmonds back in that spot. That, I mean, you're talking about could be a really, really good, scary good defense next year.
Matt, a story that came, well, we can't even call it a story. Danger, I were hoping it wasn't true. This story on the internet that made its rounds about Nate Peterman going out to dinner and had food thrown on him. You got to the bottom of this. Real news or fake news, Matt?
Fake news. Yeah, I checked in with some folks with the Bills today. I was actually going to talk to Nate after practice just to, if that did happen, to just get his account of it because it was pretty disgusting if that would have been the case. And some people in the Bills organization let me know that that wasn't true, that nothing happened. And what was interesting about the story, too, is after the game, when Nathan was at the podium talking about his game last week, and he made it a point to talk about Bills fans and how amazed he's been and at how supportive they've been despite the struggles. And when he's been out in town and seen Bills fans, they've been so supportive to him. And so when I saw that, I was almost like, man, what a 180 there that happened. But no, it was fake news, and thankfully so.
That's good news. Matt Perino of Syracuse Post-Standard, our guest in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. Matt, what do you got working on the site?
We got full Josh Allen media scrum today. The video put out a story on that in a little while. Obviously, the LeSean McCoy one that we had. And we're also going to, spending a lot of time transitioning here. It's tough. These games are at 2-7 now. Aren't going to mean a ton at this point for 2018. But we're going to start to look ahead and, have some things in the pipe come in, some draft stuff, some free agency stuff.
So be careful now. You're going to make Gene's head explode. He doesn't like talking about Christmas until after Thanksgiving.
I understand. But, hey, it hasn't been this bad in a long time, So we've got to start finding some hopeful things. And you know what? At this point, it's all about Josh Allen. So we're going to cover the heck out of that the rest of the way, especially once he's back behind center.
Great job today. Always appreciate the time, Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard. Thanks so much, and have fun down in New York.
All right. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Matt. Matt Perino. You can read his work, NewYorkUpstate.com, covering the Buffalo Bills for the Syracuse Post-Standard. If you came in late on that conversation, and if you want to hear it on demand, on your terms, on your time, hey, cool. We'll get it up for you shortly at ESPNRochester.com, where you can find all of our best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. What do you say, Gino? I'll drink to that next.
I'll drink to that, where the Amherst go down the road tonight. I've got thoughts on that. And how important are the Buffalo Bills to our sports landscape? I'll tell you right now. Things are really good with everyone else, but yet this Bills team is anchoring our sports view and where Western New York. Things are really good. We need to point out elsewhere.
You know the narrative that exists that when Bills players leave Buffalo, they find success elsewhere?
Oh, I've heard that once or twice.
Yeah. I'm going to put a little bit of a stop to that, with the exception of one player that has really kind of turned it around since leaving the Buffalo Bills. We'll explain that, and I'll also give you a very easy, clear reason why. Dez Bryant in New Orleans makes a lot of sense. That's on the way. I'll drink to that in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester. Looking for the best sounding, most interactive way to listen to the sports leader? The radio.com app is the official new home of ESPN Rochester. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. Listen in your car via Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. Connect wirelessly on your smart speakers or just pop some earbuds in and take us with you everywhere. The radio.com app. Free to download, easy to use, and where you can find AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.